Morning. Bear with me. I'm having some withdrawals. I ran out of a certain medication and decided not to go back on it. I really don't need to preach this morning. I thought that Tony said it all. Remembrance brings us into worship. I think that's the problem, isn't it? Is that we forget so easily. And yeah, we forget easily. Thank you. I do. Shoot, and this is what I do all week long, right? Was a lot of you know that Rebecca and I hosted a young Bahraini Muslim girl. And when she was 15 years old, and she is now working on her master's in Lebanon, I talk with her, probably every week. She's a sweetheart. I was talking to her yesterday. She was bored. I want to read to you my conversation with her for a little bit. If you'd turn with me, because we're going to be going in there to Philemon. And another passage as well. But I want to read to you this because it really speaks to what God has called us to. She's getting her master's in some political science stuff, and so she's her sister just went off to Cairo to go to school to become a doctor, and so it's kind of put a bra into this kind of... not quite sure what she's doing. So she says, I don't know what I'm doing with my life at this point. Remember, she's Muslim. Just going with the flow, can't complain. Others are fighting and dying for this. I think this means the freedom. I said to her, the course of our lives are seldom in a straight line. What we think we will do often looks a lot different than what it becomes. For me, who would have thought I'd be a Mennonite in a Mennonite church? My faith in the leading of the Spirit, the faithfulness of Jesus, and the love of the Father keeps me steady even in the middle of difficulties. Slow-paced but steady, she says. So that can be good. I asked her, when you think about your faith, when are you most satisfied? When I think, and I end up thankful for many stuff. You got to remember, she's Arab, and so she knows English very well, but it kind of gets muddled a little bit as she writes. And I end up thankful for many stuff that is going all through my life. Sometimes I feel alone, but I realize I'm not really alone. God is watching over me, and as long as there is someone praying for me and I'm trying to do good, I am keeping myself steady. But sometimes I think, what if I waited a bit and decided to do something different with my life? I think what I lack most in my life is patience. I like knowing conclusions before the details. I don't know. I've been thinking about many stuff lately. I said, in the Bible, James 1:2 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces patience. I said, patience is learned through trials. I said, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I said, if we know the end, then there is no need for faith. I said, the assurance that I have is what Jeremiah says. For I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for harm. I said, all of this is born out of the love of God. The Bible says, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent Jesus to redeem us through his death and resurrection. Hope is always through the strength and power of God's grace through Jesus. Our future is assured when our faith rests in him. It has always been my hope you would find that rest in Jesus. Thank you, she says. I said, no, you are always loved by mom and I. I am looking forward to watching this illusionist tonight because he grew up in a strict Muslim home and started following Jesus as a teenager. He'll be telling his story tonight as he does his show. David and I had lunch with him today. He is a really nice guy. Oh, interesting. Well, from a non-religious perspective, she says, honestly, I wonder why people care much about the name or the transition from one religion to another. I believe faith is beyond that. It is hard to explain. Religion is the tool to reach that. Maybe, I don't know. Just saying. As a parent, that sounds insane if your kid says that. I said to her, faith is good, but it depends on what your faith is in. Faith in a stone idol would be useless. Faith must be living and active. I agree that fighting over different religious beliefs is not helpful. That's what I love about you. We can talk and still love one another. I think the hard thing is that two opposing positions can be wrong, but two opposing positions cannot be right. For me, it is about freedom. Jesus said he came to set us free from sin and death so that we can love others freely. She says, yeah, I believe that there are different paths, but at the same time, I feel it is weird when each claim that they are right. Religion has been a huge topic here in Lebanon, knowing that they had a sectarian civil war, and until today, its remnants are witnessed. I mean, even the same religion are fighting one another. That is why I think faith is beyond that. She laughs, and then she says, if you are busy, we can finish this anytime later. It's fine. I'm doing nothing tonight. Well, that's true, I said. Jesus came to set us free, and then we turn around and use religion as a weapon of hate and not love. No, we are sitting here listening to music. I was saying, because she was asking kind of what we were doing. I said, no, we're not busy. I said, we're sitting here listening to music. Everyone is on their computers. Millennials, I said. She laughs. She says, I think exposure to the people who we consider as the other allows us to discover oneself and draw one's own path to what we see to be true. I said, you're right. When we get to know people we believe to be different, we realize they aren't monsters, just different. She says, you know that there are 18 registered sects in Lebanon, and the state exists on this weird network? It's crazy. Those people who claim to be detached from the material life are themselves so entrenched in it. And then they want to believe what they want you to believe what they say. I have been having this conflicting ideas, although I believe that faith, religion, shapes the way you look into life, including politics. I also believe that politics can just be the destroying force. It's another test by God. Since politics is a way of life, I don't know, can you do both or separation is the solution? Sounds like secularism in short. And what is a religious person after all? There are different standards, apparently. It's one connection with God. Why people determine that about the other? I said, true, it's a choice. And in some ways, the truth of that choice will be once and for all known when we pass from this life and stand before God. For me, it is a matter of getting past the mess people make of their religion to center on the faith what the truth is. As a follower of Jesus, Jesus is about him and how he has revealed the Father to us. I can fellowship with Eastern Orthodox, Coptic, Catholic, Baptist, Mennonite, or more because Jesus said that he is the way and the truth and the life, and life rests in him. My hope is to see people come to know God through his love to us through Christ. I don't want to force it on anyone. Yet, if I saw someone getting ready to step off a cliff, I would want to rescue them. With faith, it is somewhat the same way, but I don't want to ever make someone feel that if they choose differently, that they are judged by me. That is not my place. We will stand before God one day, and then he will judge us according to our faith or lack of it. You're my daughter, no matter what. I'm proud of you, and you'll always be loved by us. She says exactly, I love you too. But seriously, being in this atmosphere makes me think a lot. Sometimes I think getting knowledge might be as bad as being ignorant. It hurts and very confusing. I said, that is what university is all about. When I first went to university, it cast my faith into doubt. It wasn't until I started thinking for myself and asking tough questions that I came to a strong faith in Jesus. I didn't grow up in a family that followed Jesus, so for me, it was all new. It did hurt my brain. And now some people think I'm brainless. It's fine. The love is what matters the most. And then I said, on a lighter note, you have a good recipe for shawarma. And then we went on from there. You see, dialogue with a non-Christian who is thoughtful about their faith, and it will give you a completely different perspective on what has enslaved them in darkness. They're not monsters. We know a lot of good pagans, right? But they're enslaved, and so are we, oftentimes. We're enslaved to our ignorance. We're enslaved to our bitterness. We're enslaved to our unforgiveness. We're enslaved to our hatred. We're enslaved to our lusts. We're enslaved to so many things. So look with me at Philemon, because we're starting this book about a guy. There's three people in this story. There's Philemon, there's Onesimus, and there's Paul. And Paul is writing to Philemon, this believer, and he says this in verse 8. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. He's appealing to him, the base of love. As a prisoner of Christ, in verse 10, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I become in my imprisonment. And so something's happening, something's going on here. But what we understand, because we're not getting into the details of Philemon yet today, but what we're talking about here is a person who has come to Paul, who is a prisoner, and the person coming to him is a slave. And he finds freedom in Christ, to the point where Paul says, now he's my child. Why? Because he entered into a dialogue with a non-believer who was running. Think about it this way. Because the question is, what do we know about Onesimus? We don't know a whole lot. He's a slave. He's a runaway. But how did he get from Colossae all the way to Rome? It doesn't make sense unless he was there on a different errand. My guess is that Onesimus was a very trusted slave. And so he's given this responsibility to go to Rome and to do some business for his master. While he is there, something happens. Something happens. Maybe he loses all the money that his master had given him. Maybe he was robbed. Maybe he used it poorly. Maybe he did something. But for some reason, he cannot go back to his master. But he knows one thing about his master, that his master belongs to this cult called the Way. Other people call them Christians. He knows that, and he knows, because he's heard in the marketplace, that there's somebody in Rome who is in prison in a house, that he is kind of this leader of these people. And so he goes to them. Now, this is my imagination. I am speculating this. And so he goes to Paul and says, look, you know, my master knows you. You know him. I need your help because I can't go back on my own. And so Paul talks to Onesimus and shares with him how he can be free in Christ. And he becomes a believer. And he becomes helpful to Paul. But he can't stay there. He has to go back. Because when we're in slavery to something, the only way that we can become free, truly free, is to confront that issue that is keeping us in bondage. So I want you to turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. Peter's talking about all these people who have been in sin. He calls them waterless springs, mists driven by storm. They're in gloom and utter darkness. And then in 19, he makes this statement. He says, those people, they promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. And this word corruption means to decay. They are slaves of this decaying world. And then he goes on, for whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. So the question is what overcomes you? What is it that overcomes him? He doesn't necessarily, it's sinful. He just says that it overcomes them. It consumes them. It is something that has replaced Christ. I think of that in regards to my daughter Abrar, and I think about her, and I think, well, what has consumed her? It is her ignorance. It is this religion of Islam that has consumed her, and therefore she is enslaved to it. What are you enslaved to? I got to tell you, on this last Thursday, I ran out of a pain medication. And I decided that I wasn't going to go back on it. I thought, well, I'm just going to go off it. I tell you, I'm enslaved to it. I can see why people get addicted to this stuff, because I'm sitting here very disoriented. It would be very easy to go get that prescription again and take it so I don't feel this way. But yet, I choose to confront it. Why? Because I will not be enslaved by it. And so what is it that consumes you? What is it that overwhelms you to the point that you set aside Christ, that you do not remember him, that you do not think of him during the day, that you do not think of him during the week? And so when you come here on a Sunday morning, you are acting and trying to make it happen. Because remembrance leads us to worship. But we will never remember if we are enslaved. Peter continues on in verse 20. He says, for if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandments and be delivered them. Peter's saying, look, you know, if you've known Christ and yet you get entangled into the world and it overcomes you, Your state will be worse than if you had never come to Christ in the first place. I mean, it's a warning for us. What is it that overwhelms you today? What is it that entangles you? Because that is what you're enslaved to. And whatever it is, it keeps you from seeing and worshiping Jesus. So the question then becomes, what is it? How do we get entangled? How do we become free? Well, I believe it is by confronting that through the power of Jesus Christ. It is by acknowledging that we are enslaved to something. It is by then focusing on the person of Christ so that we are then consumed by Him. And when we are consumed by Him, nothing can enter into our lives that can destroy us. But as soon as we allow Him to move out of our lives and we are consumed by something else, then it leads us to what? Corruption and death. I just think sometimes that I get consumed about so much that doesn't matter that it entangles me and keeps me from doing that which matters most. Now that's hard because I am not saying that we should not enjoy life, because I think we should. So I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we should not engage in our family, because I think that we should, because the scripture says that's important. I'm not saying that we should not work hard at our jobs and be successful and have an impact on people that way. I'm not saying that, because the scripture says that we should be responsible. But if any of those things in and of themselves consume us to a point where Christ is not the center, then they are sin. And all those are good things, right? And so I ask myself, what is it that I am enslaved to? What keeps me from remembering Christ? We're going to come into a time of communion now, and that's what this is all about. You see, we remember what Christ did on the cross because His act on the cross frees us, washes us, cleanses us from the sin that so easily entangles us. And we remember that, and we repent, and we turn back to Him. And in doing that, we are set free. So if the men, the people who are helping with handing out the elements, would kind of come on up. Stand right up here. We'll be handing out the elements. The cup is on top, the bread is in on the bottom, and the gluten-free is in the middle. So if you're gluten-free, let's pray. Father, I come this morning to unburden myself to you, Father. I know my brothers and sisters here love you deeply and they desire the same thing, that in doing so, we can walk in freedom and that our light will shine so brightly
that Abrar will see it in Lebanon. And so, Father, as we commune together around these elements, I pray that we will take opportunities to confess, repent, and turn back to you. That in doing so, we can walk in power and in freedom. In Jesus' name.